Bringing Grace to the Nations podcast is brought to you by
Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ. More information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu.
Thanks for listening to that. And now it's time for your favorite weekly podcast, hosted by your favorite person in the entire world. And if you donate all your money to Grace Nation, God will multiply it by 10
times.
You
can't say that.
You are listening to Bringing Grace to the Nations podcast, where we talk about your theological questions. BGN Podcast is produced every Saturday for your enjoyment. Get more information on our website, grace-nation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter, at @GraceNationMin, and on Facebook. Now, here is your host, President of Grace Nation Ministries, Victor.
Yo, yo, what is up, guys, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Bringing Grace to the Nations podcast. I am your host, Victor, and I'm so excited to be bringing you a brand new episode of our podcast. If you are tuning in for the very first time, welcome to our podcast. I'm so happy you decided to listen. Please don't click away. Give us just like 20 minutes of your time. You won't be sorry. If you guys are returning listeners, guys, welcome back. I'm so glad that you guys chose to tune back in and listen to my annoying voice for another 30 to 35 minutes. I'm sick, so I'm going to be relying on my buddy Daniel here, who's joining me today for this amazing topic. How's it going, man?
Good, good. I'm just privileged to take part on this podcast.
Yeah, you've never been on a podcast before. This is number one.
Yeah.
So we're excited to have you on. I'm glad that you were able to join us today. Guys, if you have not followed us on Instagram yet, you totally should, because we are doing a $250 giveaway when we hit that 500 follower mark on Instagram. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of cookout here in the South.
That's a lot of cookout. It's true. So, guys, if you have not followed us on Instagram, please do. We're Grace Nation Ministries. We have beautiful posts every day. And so you guys should totally follow us there. We also have some new posts on our website, grace-nation.com, that you should totally go check out. Some new devotionals, a very nice critique on God's Not Dead, and so many other things. So you guys should totally go check that out. And we're working on a project that I can't get too in-depth with today, but hopefully in the coming weeks you will hear more about the project that I am working on for you guys. So, Daniel, end of school, like we're hitting that, yeah. We're hitting the peak of the semester. It's almost done, but now all of the assignments are due. How are you feeling?
Actually, I'm surprised. I feel a lot better, but it's that typical time where you always start drinking more coffee. Always more coffee.
It's where you're relying on the caffeine more and more. Yeah, dude, I totally get that. We had the awesome opportunity to sit down with David Platt. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was, what an experience. Like, seriously, we had such a great time. It was really humbling just to be able to sit in a room with him and just hear him talk. But yeah, it was so good. I don't know what you thought about it, but
yeah, I think any conversation or breakfast or lunch, whatever that may look like, with I don't know, big shots like David Platt is so humbling, because honestly, I just forget to remind myself that, man, they're just normal people like I am. They're no super spiritual people. So having to sit down with David Platt and him just pouring out his heart,
oh, it was so good. So yeah, so we had such a great time being able to do that. And today's podcast, we're going to be talking about something that you're very passionate about. You're going to share a little background here in a second. Mm-hmm. Something that I find really interesting. It's not really my forte. It's not really where I dive into a lot of times, but I don't hesitate going into it because it's something that should be studied and looked at, especially in relation to the Christian life. Also, I'm sick, so if my voice is annoying to you guys, I apologize. I'm sick, so don't hold that against me. Hopefully the grace of God will heal me before I have to record another podcast. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about faith and reason. Yeah. And like, sometimes, like, when we think of faith and reason, like, it almost sounds like, you know, like the wrestling bells, like ding ding, you know, the heavyweight matchup, like they're against each other, they're going to fight each other, and like they just can't work together.
Yeah.
And this is something that you're passionate about. So why don't you share with us just a little background behind kind of your passion and some of the studies that you've done in this area?
Yeah. So before I came to Southeastern, I wasn't really, philosophy wasn't my thing at all. It was just too complicated. But Southeastern, the College of Southeastern, they have a History of Ideas program. Mm-hmm. And we have to take 4 classes out of those. So we walk through the beginning of flood accounts to Plato, Aristotle, to the more modern philosophers who rooted from Plato and Aristotle, mm-hmm. all the way to reformers and Francis Schaeffer, who's very recent.
Right.
So the thread that threads all these 4 classes of the History of Ideas is faith and reason.
Hmm.
And the second and third and fourth class I'm taking is just been more and more interesting, and it's like I can't understand it fully,
right.
but it's so interesting because there's so many different philosophers who wrote on this, and so many different views and so many different applications,
right?
And
so much to learn from it.
Yeah, yeah. So much to learn from it, and it's just, you cannot overlook it in the Christian faith.
Right. No, absolutely, and it's just so true, and I think that's one of the reasons why they break them into 4 classes, because there's just so much that to dive into that you can't just cover it in a semester or two. You have to dedicate a serious amount of time, and these are all classes that are required for us.
Yeah.
Every student that comes has to take that, and I think it really helps give us a better understanding of the relationship between faith and reason, and I'm actually excited to dive into them. I start my first one next semester, so I'm excited to be able to do that. But we've kind of broken today down into 3 different categories, and it's 3 different ways that people view the relationship between faith and reason. And so I got a text, don't hate me. but we're going to be looking at the 3 different ways that people view the relationship between faith and reason. And the first one that we want to look at is the viewpoint of the view that people prioritize reason over faith. And so what do you have to say about that? Like, what does that mean? What does it mean to prioritize reason over faith?
Yeah. Before we get into that, let's define faith and reason when we're using those terms so we'll be on a common ground.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. Thanks for bringing that up. So we looked up just kind of the generic definition of faith. And so if you had to define faith just the generic way, how would you do it?
It's the complete trust or confidence in someone or something.
That's the generic, you know, Google definition of faith.
Yeah.
And then we also looked up the generic Google definition of reason. Now, just keep in mind that these are not the Christian definitions.
Mm-hmm.
This is not how the Bible describes it. This is kind of the secular Google worldly definition. The definition of reason is a cause, explanation, or justification for an action or an event.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of the 2 definitions we're going to be working from, because although we want to come at it with a Christian perspective, we have to understand that the people that we're ministering to and evangelizing to don't share the same worldview that we do. And so we need to embrace the culture that we've been placed
in
to most effectively minister to them. So that's why we're going to be using these definitions going forward. So probably the most common non-Christian view, reason prioritized over faith. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I'm going to hit the very basics, very sure. There's an assumption when a person prioritizes reason that man can know God through human senses.
Mm.
So it is possible through using your senses and through concluding to come to a knowledge of God. But they don't take into account that reason has been diminished by the fall. So they don't believe that reason has been broken. They believe that it is fully functional and at healthy states.
Right.
And so what prioritizing reason over faith means is that man can in fact think, conclude, put ideas together in order to comprehend reality, to comprehend the world around the person, and actually to make their way towards God.
Right. And I think that's probably most common within like atheists, but it also sounds a little like deistic. And I don't know what your opinion would be on that, but it almost sounds like through our senses and through kind of, you know, the abilities that we have here on this earth, we can kind of reason, we can come to our own conclusions of what the world around us has to offer. And some people can come to the conclusion through looking at, you know, the grass and the trees and the flowers and the plants. And, you know, you read in Romans 1 that, like, you know, he's revealed himself to us in nature. Like, some people can come to the conclusion that God exists through kind of just the senses, but it usually leads towards a more deistic worldview of God, where God kind of sets the clock in motion, kind of steps back and doesn't do anything. Or it could definitely lead to, like you talked about in relation to the fall, it kind of, it just skews our entire reasoning altogether, and it leads us to a conclusion that God doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely, I would say that this worldview is most common among atheists, naturalists, non-Christians, non-religious, even Islamic people, and you know, different religions probably would not hold this worldview either, because they do believe in a higher being.
Yeah. And just the other thing is, I'll bring up a nerdy an example from philosophy, is when people make a truth statement, and when that truth statement is proven to be false, reason is not found faulty in itself. The mistake that was made is not that reason is wrong, or that it has suffered the consequence of the fall.
Right.
No, the person who was using reason has made incorrect assumptions, and so therefore he used reason improperly. So reason, let's say it's innocent, and the person who uses reason uses it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you'll find this throughout all of history. Someone makes a truth statement, proven false.
Right.
Reason is not to blame. It's the person who used reason incorrectly.
Right, absolutely. Reason is kind of the tool
that
we can use. And you can use a tool incorrectly and it won't get the job done. That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, that makes 100% sense. And so, yeah, that's kind of the first way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving on to the second way, and I think this might be the most common, to be honest. I don't know what your opinion would be. We're not saying it's right, but we're saying this is probably the most common.
Yeah.
And this is faith prioritized over reason. Most common within religious circles.
Yeah.
Faith prioritized over reason. And if you had to kind of put that into, you know, a brief summary of, like, what that means, what would you say? How would you kind of define faith prioritized over reason?
Yeah, so what that means is, there's a belief that it is possible for humans to comprehend the world around them. So, as reason stated, a person himself can understand reality. But when faith is emphasized, it is emphasized on the possibility of understanding the reality.
Right.
So you're believing that it is possible to understand.
Right.
As well as having faith in the ability of using reason properly.
Right.
So faith in your senses telling you the truth. Faith in the senses not deceiving you.
Right.
They're accurate representations, and you're learning actual information that is correct.
Right.
So the presupposition in that is that you're believing that you can learn correctly.
Right. And I think one thing that we have to distinguish here is, and this is for the first one as well, if reason precedes faith, we're not saying that faith is non-existent in that. It's just kind of taking a back seat.
Yeah.
Same thing here. Faith preceding or prioritized over reason doesn't mean that reason is non-existent. It just means that it might be in the back seat. And I think you gave a really good example when we were talking earlier, kind of about instincts. And if you want to kind of give that analogy.
So imagine that you're in a crisis situation. Imagine one of the worst things happening to you. And this idea stems from the fact that you are reacting on instinct.
Mm.
You don't stop in a crisis situation and rationalize what you're going to do. You act instantly.
Right.
Now, where does that stem from? That stems from your personal ethics. When you make a decision from instinct, what that instinct is pulling from is your formulation of a worldview. All of your experiences pull in together at that one moment.
Right.
And the things, the values, the important things in your life, based on those things, you react in instinct.
Right.
So, essentially, you're acting from your personal ethics that you have already formulated.
Right.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that kind of shows that this faith kind of transcends in this particular view. It kind of transcends over reason, but faith cannot be carried out unless it kind of relies or supplemented by reason. And so, like, in that crisis situation, like, you don't have time to sit down and rationally think out all the possible, you know, decisions you can make and their subsequent outcomes. Like, you have to make a decision based off of, like what you said, the entirety of your worldview, you know, your experiences, the way you were brought up, they're all coming together at that one moment, and they're going to inform you of what decision you need to make. And it mm-hmm. might be wrong, it might be right.
Yeah.
But you're pulling, that decision is being pulled from, you know, this faith, you know, rooted in instinct, which can yeah. be rooted back to your worldview. Like, it just keeps going on and on and on. But yeah, and I think we have to agree that for philosophy, and we talked about this yeah. earlier, for philosophy to be done within a Christian worldview, it has to be done within the bounds of Christianity.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have anything to say yeah. on that, but it's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one particular book that I'm going to really recommend is Garrett Dewey's Doing Philosophy as a Christian. And the main point that he makes in this book is that philosophy, to be done properly as a Christian, needs to be done in the bounds of religion, particularly the Christian religion, because the philosophy is very dangerous by itself alone. If there are no limits, it will take you to where the Bible cannot answer the questions the person is asking right. with philosophy.
It'll almost take you to like a God level.
Yeah, to a God level. And what I mean by that is philosophy can lead a person to seek, very technical term, absolute epistemological certainty.
Mm-hmm.
So where you are wanting to know for certain a level of truth that only God can provide.
Right.
That's a particular example where philosophy can take you. So if you take philosophy outside of the Christian religion, you're open to that danger.
Right.
And as a Christian, it is very dangerous. It can be very dangerous to your faith.
Right.
Because you're using reason so much.
Right.
And it'll harm your faith and your relationship with God, because you just won't have answers that the Bible does not seek to answer.
Absolutely. And actually, I was sitting in a J.D. Greer sermon recently, probably, I don't know, it's probably about 2 weeks ago, and he was kind of explaining a complete... I actually mentioned this in the last podcast. This is how awesome this analogy is.
Yeah.
And it completely, again, out of context, but he's talking about the Christian religion, and he's like, what happens when the unexplainable meets the undeniable?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's kind of what we're talking about here, right? Like, the unexplainable is hitting the undeniable, the unexplainable being these, you know, absolute epistemological certainties.
Yeah.
Big word, by the way.
Yeah.
I love it. Go home. If you're a kid, go home and tell your parents that.
Yeah.
They will, their jaw will drop if you say that. But philosophy, the unexplainable might be those, you know, absolute epistemological certainties. And then the undeniable are the truths that we find in the Bible. And sometimes, like, we know that all the Bible's true, but not all truth is found in the Bible. There are truths outside of the Bible, truths that God hasn't even revealed to us yet here on this earth. But we know that once we get to heaven, he's going to expand our knowledge, expand our wisdom, right? And we'll be exposed to those truths. But when we kind of, when we try to step outside or above these truths that God has given to us, because mm-hmm. it's what our brain can handle, like you said, it's getting dangerous. We're attempting to kind of play God.
Yeah.
And we're attempting to kind of have his role in knowledge, and we're just not meant for that yet. And so when the unexplainable meets the undeniable, which one do you have to take? You have to take the undeniable.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of a brief description of when faith is prioritized over reason. And I would say that this is the most accepted Christian religious one of these three.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's the one that we agree with the most, but this is probably the most accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go ahead and head on to the third one. And this is the one that I think personally we both land.
Yeah.
I think this is the healthiest view, and we'll kind of get into why during the application. But this is when faith and reason work together in harmony. And I don't want you guys to be like, oh, it's going to be a tie. Like, of course it's a tie. Like, no. like, yes, okay, we're, this isn't the easy way out. This is just the truthful way out. This is when faith and reason work together harmoniously. And so there are kind of two approaches to this particular stance. And what would those approaches be?
Yeah, so the first one is trying to understand this interplay from a human perspective. Mm-hmm. And I'll read you guys a quote. All right, this is how it goes. Faith transcends reason without contradicting it, but faith needs to be supplemented by reason.
Mm.
So there's this interplay that cannot be separated. They are weaker by themselves, but when they are put together, they're stronger. They work more efficiently. They're not contraries. Right. Rather, they're on the same playing field, right. And they work much better like that.
Right. So like so we would say that if we prioritize faith over reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even prioritizing faith over reason, like that priority faith is still weaker than the faith that we're talking about here because it's working harmoniously with reason. Think of, I'm trying to think of like a sports reference. Think of like when a football team, you know, when their chemistry is just on point, you know, the quarterback is communicating, right, you know, effectively to the running back and to the wide receivers, and the play doesn't get messed up, right? But that's kind of this, you know, harmonious work between faith and reason. But when you prioritize faith over reason, you can kind of get, well, the running back is like, well, I'm the star, I'm getting the ball every down, and then you never, you know, the wide receivers are never getting a shot at the end zone, you know. So like those are just, I guess, some like easy ways to kind of conceptualize it. But yeah, so I love that quote. Who's do you happen to know who that quote was by any chance?
So
that I can link it in the show notes. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
If not, it'll be in the show notes because we have the name. It's just such a beautiful quote. And that's the first approach, you would say.
Yeah, the first approach from a human perspective.
Right.
The quote is from an article called When Reason Fails Us, How We Act and What We Do When We Do Not Know What to Do. It's by Jacoby Carter and Sarah Scott.
Interesting. That's awesome. Okay. So that's the first kind of human view.
Yeah.
What's the second approach?
So the second approach puts faith and reason under the submission of the authority of God. So the first approach viewed it from a human perspective. Mm-hmm. The second approach introduces a third aspect into the picture, which is God being the sole authority of this relationship between faith and reason. And so another great book, this is an old guy, he's from the 1890s.
So he's a dead guy.
Yeah, dead guy. But he's brilliant. He's a theologian. His name is Auguste Grattery, and the book is called Guide to the Knowledge of God. It's like 600 pages, but he's super simple, and it's a book about the theodicies, or the problem of evil.
Okay.
And so he addresses this relationship in that book. And what he says is that faith and reason are on the same playing field.
Right.
They're not enemies. They work together. And faith or reason are not means to a certain end. So in other words, the first view that we talked about is faith over reason.
Right.
That view can be viewed as faith as a means to the end of reason.
Right.
The other view is reason as the means to the end of faith.
Mm.
This view states that neither of them are the ends. Both faith and reason are means. Now, they're not prioritized over each other. They're on the same leveling field. So reason and faith are instruments to the knowledge of God.
Right.
And the third aspect, God, who enters this relationship, is a sovereign God who says that man cannot bridge the gap between reason and faith. only God can take a person from reason to faith.
Interesting. So he plays the bridge.
Yeah, he plays the bridge.
Awesome.
In other words, they're put unto submission. They're not giving the authority that God has.
Right.
So again, very simple. They're the means. Both of them are means to the main end, the purpose of knowing God.
Right. And I think that's interesting, because when you look at it from the human view, and then you look at it from kind of the submitting to God view, when we look at it through the human view, neither one is submitting to any higher power.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. However, when we look at the Christian view, they're submitting by a transcendent, almighty, sovereign power, right? Who knows everything. And so those are the means to that end, which is the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And so I think when we put it into terms like that, that is the most biblically accurate way to kind of conceptualize the relationship between faith and reason. Guys, I am so sick. Forgive me. I'm sorry. So when we take those two ideas and we take them being used in harmony, especially under a submission to God, it kind of means a few things. One, it means that that both of those things are a gift from God.
Yeah.
I think we have to understand that. And man cannot connect this bridge between faith and reason. The bridge is God, like we said earlier. And so what does that mean for us? So like we've been sitting here for about 25 minutes talking about faith and reason and the relationship. How is this going to help anyone? Why does anyone knowing that faith working harmoniously with reason is going to benefit them in their relationship with God and the way in their relationship with people? What would you say? Why talk about this? What's the point? And I think we kind of land in this pool of like, well, they're submitting to God, and so we should follow suit. And so I think it gives us a right view of God. And I think when you read in Scripture, in Romans, it talks about that faith is a gift from God, right? And so I think when we see that even the gifts from God are submissive to him, mm-hmm. that we should follow suit and be submissive to God. And when we kind of try and prioritize reason over faith or faith over reason, we kind of fall out of that submissive relationship.
Yeah, and just to add on, I think because we are viewing this as submission to God, it really humbles us.
Right.
Because we understand that we cannot figure this relationship out.
Right.
And we are reminding ourselves of the almighty, infinite God, and we as human, as the finite, the small, and relying on God to help us understand not only the philosophical reason, but also the more biblical and personal, and how do we use this in our personal life.
Right, it causes us to realize that we're dependent
on
God. And again, that gives us a right view of us in relationship to God.
Yeah.
And I think Christians kind of, and this is probably something that Christians fall into a lot,
mm-hmm.
is kind of the statement of blind faith.
Yeah.
We're just kind of leaping blindly into this Christian thing. And if it's right, awesome, I go to heaven. And if it's wrong, well, who cares? I just die.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, unfortunately, that's the Christian view. And brothers and sisters, if you fall into this, if you fall into that category, I just want to assure you that you have not taken a blind leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have not taken, you just haven't. There is so much proofs and evidence all throughout just history and, you know, through genealogy and geologically? Is that the word? Through digging,
something like that.
Stuff like that. You know, like there are solid proofs and evidences for your faith, and reason plays a crucial role in you determining whether those proofs and evidences are enough. And I think through, you know, good reason, we can come to the valid conclusion that faith is a reasonable end to a worldview of faith in God. Because I think, like, it is reasonable to believe when you look outside your window and see the trees, when you look at our DNA and how complex it is, when you look at the history behind the historical accuracy that the Bible has to the proofs that Jesus did live and walk on this earth and did was buried in a tomb and rose 3 days again. When you look at those proofs and evidences, you have to reasonably come to the conclusion that I need to have faith in this because it makes sense. And so when you see kind of that conversion process, you see faith and reason actually playing quite a harmonious role in salvation.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Lee Strobel, but there's a recent movie that came out, and you know, if you're familiar with his story, he has a lot of books, Case for Christ and things like that. But when you watch the movie specifically, you see him reasoning, you know, considering the reason behind faith and walking through the evidences that eventually led him to faith, and you see them working in harmony together. And so we just want to encourage you guys, if you guys are struggling with this or you guys don't really know where to go with this, just be encouraged that faith and reason, you don't have to abandon reason because you're a Christian. You don't have to abandon science. You don't have to abandon philosophy. You don't have to abandon any of those things just because you're Christian. However, do them within the bounds of Christianity, because those are the bounds in which God has given us.
Yeah, and just because I think all of us can agree that a lot of us as Christians can be accused of blind faith.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I didn't understand fully what that is. And essentially what that is, blind faith is you're making you're making a decision with no evidence at all. Yeah. You have no idea what's going to come. You have no idea why you're doing this. You have no thinking, no reasoning, just nothing planned out. And you're just blindfolded, you know, jumping off something, doing something, and you have no idea why you're doing that.
Yeah.
That is blind faith. So when someone accuses you of something like that, make sure you clarify, like, no, that's not what I believe.
I don't have blind faith, right?
Yeah.
And you can walk through the process of your reasoning and walk through the process of the science that backs up the Bible, because it does. You know, even in my, you can read chapter one of my book that's posted on my website, and it talks about how science does not contradict the Bible. In fact, it highlights it, and they work harmoniously together, just like faith and reason do. And I think that a lot of us Christians have kind of this misconception. And so be bold in your faith. You know, if someone accuses you of having blind faith, be able to back that up and be like, no, like I have reasonable evidence and proofs that, like, hey, my faith is backed up with not only Jesus, but also, like, I can show you philosophically, you know, scientifically, wherever the person is struggling, that God does exist. If there's someone with philosophical hesitancies toward Christianity, well, then use philosophical arguments to prove that God exists. If there's someone who's hesitant scientifically, then do the same thing scientifically. You can use all different means of reason to bring people to Christ, because even in Acts 17, Paul uses secular philosophers to prove the existence of, the existence of God. So even Paul realized that it was an effective tool to use secular reasoning to prove God's existence to a group of philosophers, right? I think you see that in scripture, and it's definitely supported.
So just to add on, what Victor is kind of saying is, when oftentimes we as Christians would pin down reason and suppress it, particularly trying to prove the existence of God, because it's not looked upon something by, you know, very positive in the church.
Right.
But listen, when someone wants to know God who is not a Christian, and if he's struggling with believing with the existence of God, you sit down with him and you walk through arguments for the existence of God.
Yeah.
You do that. If that is necessary for him to believe, do it.
Yeah.
Now, if they're jumping from one thing to another, that's up to your judgment. You'll be able to see that.
Right.
And same with faith. If someone is struggling to make that step and believe genuinely, you sit down with them and you talk about faith. So make sure, when someone is in the process of wanting to become a Christian, you realize, okay, what are you more struggling with, faith or reason? Now let's sit down. If I do this with you, if I explain beliefs in God, arguments will you really believe?
Right.
And so do that. I encourage you. Do not be afraid. Do your research. There are some solid arguments.
Oh, there are some really solid. And I'll even link a lot of the popular philosophical arguments, some of the scientific articles. I'll link Lee Strobel's information. I'll link some of the books that you recommended. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you resources to educate yourself, because I think it's really important as Christians that we do this. And I mean, we cannot summarize the relationship between faith and reason and 31 minutes. We just can't. So we encourage you guys to step outside the podcast and look at some resources. I'm sure this is not the last time we'll talk about this topic, and I'm sure it's not the last time you'll hear about this topic. And so it's valuable for your evangelism. It's valuable for your relationship with Christ. Don't neglect it. We are encouraging you guys to dive into that. Before we close, we want to give you one last thing, and this is something that was really awesome. It comes from C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, and it's his definition of faith.
Yeah, this comes from chapter 12 in Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis says, "Faith, in this sense, arises after a man has tried his level best to practice the Christian virtues and found that he fails, and seen that even if he could, he would only be giving back to God what was already God's own."
It's so good. If you guys haven't, again, I'll link Mere Christianity in the show notes. If you guys haven't dug into Mere Christianity, oh my goodness.
Oh, you're missing out.
Minus maybe like the last chapter, but we're not going to dive into that. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Bringing Grace to the Nations podcast. You guys have been such a blessing. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for everything that you guys do for us. If you are considering donating to our ministry and to our cause, please step out in faith. Please step out in faith and do that. We would be so appreciative. We've reached so many people with the donations of our followers and with the donations from our listeners. And so if you guys want to help advance our cause and God's cause and the kingdom's cause, please consider donating to us. Guys, if you have not followed us on social medias, please do. Grace Nation Ministries on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. You can email me at gracenationministries@yahoo.com. There's no reason why you should not be getting in contact with me. I have nothing better to do. I will drop all my schoolwork. I'll drop out of classes to talk to you guys, because that's a priority. I told you guys my address in the last episode. Come get me, please.
Send him spam.
I get tons of spam. Oh, gosh. I don't even want to talk about that. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, Daniel, thank you so much for being
here. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
It was so fun. Hopefully we'll have you on again in the future. Hopefully. Guys, until next time, you're beautiful. You're one of a kind. Take care, and God bless.
And that's the show. Thanks for listening. The BGN podcast comes out every week. Questions? Email us at gracenationministries@yahoo.com or tweet us at gracenationmin. Until next time, take care and God bless.